This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. This week we are dividing the show again. The first hour will be focused on investing and what a week it has been for the markets after the election results came public. In the second hour, we are going to be focusing on politics again with our KER Politics division. To kick off the show, I am joined by fund manager Dana Lyons. I visit Dana's blog on a regular basis. You can also follow him on my401kpro.com. Dana, you came out with a couple articles talking about the craziness that we saw in the markets in the final 3 days of trading. Can you share some of the stats that you came up with that are pretty much historical?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me on again, by the way. I think the positioning going into the election really contributed to some of the fireworks we've seen post-election. You know, the results aside in the election itself, I mean, the reaction in the market has been, you know, in the 0.1% in craziness in markets in my 20-year history of observing the markets, and back much further as far as being a student of the market. So if you would have told me, you know, the market would be up huge or the market would be down huge following the election, either way, it wouldn't have surprised me. The crazy thing has been the amount of sectors, the bifurcation in the sectors and indexes and commodities and whatnot. You have some areas of the market that have been up 2% a day for the last 3 days and others that have been down 2% a day. You know, everything's going this way and that, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. And in those instances, we just like kind of take a step back and let the dust settle and whatnot and not get forced into anything. Just wait for our fat pitch, so to speak. But I will give you a couple examples as far as the craziness, starting with, you know, the 1,000-plus point reversal from the off of the lows on election night in the Dow.
That was crazy how quick that happened.
Oh, and he had the S&P limit down 100 points, and then, you know, by the open on Wednesday, I mean, you had to have a market on open order to cover any shorts in the S&P before it was positive. So it was quite a reversal. Another, probably the strangest stat that we came up with over the last few days, and I don't know how this is going to necessarily help us in our investment strategy, but it's just crazy. So we look at breadth statistics a lot, and using our models to formulate our investment strategy. And yesterday, for example, for the first time in history, this is how crazy the market was. The Dow actually closed up by more than 1%, yet at the same time, the breadth, the advanced declines on the New York Stock Exchange was actually negative. At the same time, the NASDAQ 100 dropped by over 1.5%, and the breadth on the NASDAQ Exchange was positive. So go figure, try to figure that one out. Another focus of ours this week has been on the sudden elevation in both the number of new highs and new lows on the exchanges. For example, yesterday on the New York Stock Exchange, the number of new highs and new lows set a 3-month high, which was only the second time in the history of the exchange that's happened. So you have no shortage of just craziness going on right now in the markets. And like you said, you know, we had the last 2 days signified the biggest drop in the history of the bond market, several of the areas of the bond market. You have commodities, obviously, just going haywire. Industrial metals going haywire to the upside. Precious metals getting slammed. So it's, like I said, in these circumstances, you know, we like to just take a step back. If we're over leveraged, which we're not, we're almost never on leverage, we, you know, just take our exposure down a little bit and sit back and wait for the fat pitch, so to speak, in whatever we're looking at. So we're just going to let the dust settle and use our the quantitative models that we always use and wait for everything to flush out and you know, stay with our process. But it's been, if nothing else, it's been entertaining to watch just the historic reaction to an historic election.
Very entertaining, Dana. And one point that I do want to look at is the commodities, because it seems like in the U.S. markets, we were getting this sector rotation out of tech stocks into, well, some other stocks that people think will do better now that Trump and potentially some infrastructure spending will come in. But let's talk about copper and some of the base metals. Those were getting buys about 2.5 to 3 weeks ago. Copper is just really extended upward, and the precious metals have been hit hard. Do you think this is a trend that investors need to be aware of?
It depends on your time frame. I mean, obviously the moves have been huge within the duration of, you know, a couple days or a week. You had shorter term breakouts, like you said, in these industrial metals over the last couple weeks. So perhaps that, you know, foretold the results of the election. You know, I like to say that the stock market is the best discounting mechanism in the world. It takes all the collective information based on all the aggregation of, you know, all the bets, all the buys and sells, and filters all that out so that you have more information inputs into the market than you have in any other entity in the world. So the market is infinitely smarter than any of us can be. So perhaps, you know, looking at the signs going in, it foretold a Trump victory. I mean, I don't know, but there are certainly signs that would have indicated that. Now, is it going to change the trend, the longer term trend? I would say it hasn't yet. I would say there's more convincing to be done. There's more evidence on a longer term basis to be put down before, you know, we're convinced that, you know, industrial metals or any economic demand of any kind is taking a turn to the upside on a durable basis. We, in fact, here at the end of the week on Friday, we've got copper hitting some major resistance on this chart. You have a downtrend line stemming from the peaks back about 5 years ago. You have a couple significant Fibonacci retracements right here. So I would not be expecting much more to the upside in the short term in copper. So from a long term perspective, I'm not sold on the big shift in industrial metals. At the same time, I'm not sold on a long term shift lower in precious metals. You know, it's based on the chart formation at the beginning of the week. We had a potential bear flag in gold and silver, and what we're seeing is that bear flag come to fruition and seeing new lows being made here at the end of the week. But from a longer term perspective, it doesn't change in our view the current longer term bullish constructive picture in precious metals.
All right, Dana, interesting comments on the time frame, how we need to be looking at some of these metals. And I think that some of these moves, while impressive on short-term basis, at least for the base metals, need to be taken in a bigger context in terms of people are looking very U.S.-focused right now. But remember, base metals can be driven a lot by demand coming from other sources, especially Asia. As for the precious metals, there are a couple of support zones that we should be hitting here. Hopefully they manage to hold, but no doubt about it, not a very good week for gold especially. Thanks for your time, Dana. Everybody stick around, we're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-9833. Again, that's 1-800-441-9833.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Al and I have in this segment Valentin Schmidt, the business editor for the Epic Times. Valentin, when we chat, we usually focus on what's going on in China and some of the either data points that come out about China or some forward projections. What I want to look at right now is now that the U.S. has Trump that will be taking power, I want to look at how China will be impacted by some of the policies that he is looking to put into place and the fact that he is looking to bring back onshore a lot of the money held in U.S. corporations around the world. China is a large economy and needs to be considered for all of these actions. Can you give us a rundown of where you think China has some concern areas when Trump does take office?
Yes, Corey, it's nice to be on the show. These are some actually pretty complex issues. If you talk about Trump, everybody thinks he hates China. So there's one thing we need to be clear on. Trump doesn't hate China. And I spoke to one of his advisors who knows about this. He made a movie called Death by China. His name is Peter Navarro. He's a professor in California. He knows how China basically cheats in manufacturing and has the slave labor. He knows about that. And Trump knows about that. And Trump wants to protect American jobs. But it's not about free trade. It's about fair trade. So if you're cheating like China and have been for 16 years, this is going to stop. So Trump is going to say, this is not going to work. You have to play fair. And if you play fair and stop cheating, then we can make a deal and we can have the same, you can have the same trade that we have with Europe or that we have with South America. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to offer them a deal. And the funny thing is, of course, this is going to hurt the people in China who profit from the slave labor. But there are sides who are going to gain. Because the funny thing is that Chinese President Xi Jinping, he wants to reform anyway. And in fact, he's been fighting against those entrenched interests as well. It's kind of like Trump. He's fighting the special interest in the United States. Xi Jinping has been fighting the special interest in China. And he wants to reform, but they don't want to let them reform. So I think Xi Jinping, he wants to reform. He may take this as an opportunity to work together with Trump to reform the Chinese economy, and at the end, both sides may be better off. But if China chooses to keep cheating, then Trump is just going to slap tariffs on them. And they have always said it's not an optimal outcome. The optimal outcome is fair trade. The suboptimal outcome is tariffs, where you protect the national industries. And then the worst outcome is what we've had the last couple of years, because the United States middle class has just been fleeced by the globalists. And that's what Trump is going to avoid. But it may lead to a suboptimal outcome of trade wars and protectionism.
Valentin, what about the issue of Trump trying to bring manufacturing back to the U.S.? He does talk a lot, and he got a lot of support from what seemed like manufacturing workers who do want some jobs to come back in the U.S. What do you think Trump is capable of here?
Of course, I think Trump knows that, you know, you can't go back to the 70s. And you cannot bring back all the manufacturing and stuff like that. I think everybody understands that with the automation, you just can't go back to manufacturing everything in the United States. That's impossible. However, by getting rid of these bad trade deals that they have with China and the WTO or with Mexico and NAFTA, you can at least, again, not have the optimal outcome, but have a better outcome than you had before, where just, as we said, middle class got fleeced. They were promised there would be a transition, but then at the end there would be more jobs. No jobs for the middle class. And I think that's why all the Rust Belt states that have been blue states for the longest time swung to support Donald Trump. Of course, now he has to deliver.
Valentin, what about in terms of the markets? Because we all know the wild swings that happened in the U.S. immediately after the election results, and then that snapback rally, which we seem to have continued throughout the week. In terms of markets and then also currencies too, because there were some interesting shifts in what the Chinese were doing with U.S. treasuries, and also in terms of the currency, the U.S. dollar continues to move higher.
I think interesting thing that's happening is you saw that on the day of the election, the Chinese currency went down a lot. Of course, they managed it, so it didn't crash. And the treasury yield spiked up a lot. So there was enormous selling of treasuries from the Chinese, mostly, which is, in reality, it's not that they think, you know, oh, Donald Trump. I mean, they may think that Donald Trump is going to explode the debt. He's going to cut taxes, increase spending, and the debt is just going to explode. But the funny thing is the currency still went down, the Chinese currency. So there was more demand for dollars from the private sector. That's how it works. The private sector demands dollars, and the central bank has to supply those dollars by selling treasuries. So the Chinese people actually may think that Trump, and maybe with the cooperation of Xi, are going to ruin the Chinese economy, at least for a short term, or there may be pain. And on the other hand, because of the tax cuts and the deregulation, the U.S. private sector may actually do a lot better. So they're gobbling up stocks, bonds, but the official sector, the Central Bank of China, has been selling. So there's definitely some curious market developments when it comes to this.
Well, there are curious market developments going on right now, no question about that. Let me just ask you a question, and that is, I think what we're going to have in terms of fiscal policy in this administration, given the fact that we now also control Congress and the administrative branch, and soon the judicial branch, do you think in this administration we're going to have more of a business-like approach in terms of the fiscal actions of the U.S. government?
Well, that's what I hope for. I mean, the big bonus that Trump had was that he's a business person. He knows what it's like to fail. He knows what it's like to cut things that don't work, which is a big problem that the government has. They keep on doing things that just don't work and cost money. So, as you say, he's got the House, he's got the Senate. Even the establishment Republicans, which opposed him, they had a big plan for tax cuts, which he ultimately adopted. So there is theoretically no reason why that shouldn't be pushed through. And then Trump said, we just have to cut 1% or 2% of all the discretionary spending, and we'll have a balanced budget. Because by definition, and I agree with him there, the tax cuts, they increase economic activity. That's just, that has always been the case. The last time when Reagan cut taxes, the actual tax revenue in dollars was much higher at the end. It's just that that increased a lot because Reagan also spent a lot. Now, Trump hasn't really said so much about spending. He wants to cut waste. I think he should be good at it because he won't care about all these petty politics. I mean, this is really also an experiment. I mean, when have you seen that? That a business person comes into politics and tries to do the things that you would do in a normal business. I mean, in theory, he should be able to do it, but in practice, who knows what kind of resistance he runs into. Well, we just have to see. I'm hopeful.
Well, Valentin, I think that hopefully more and more people will be hopeful, because quite frankly, it seems like a lot of people right now are more scared than anything, but I think Trump does actually offer us a potential for change and hopefully getting the country back on the right economic, at least, stance or forward projection. Valentin, as always, thank you for your time. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with a trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi there, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and we're looking in this time of terrible financial crash, terrible meltdown of the medical system, we're looking to pay people obscene amounts of money if you become a student of our business at Youngevity. We will help you actually take care of people better than the medical system has. Think about it. We spend more money in America for healthcare than all the other 218 nations the world put together, and they can't even solve weight loss problems. I mean, the medical system can have a total mental brain fart, and if you do this, you will be able to save an enormous amount of people from being overweight, being obese. They don't even know what causes obesity. Believe me, we know what causes obesity. In the medical system, they think it's from eating too much. It's not from eating too much. It's actually a mineral deficiency. Do you solve a iron deficiency anemia with a bone marrow transplant? That's what they think. Do you solve a mineral deficiency that causes obesity with a gastric bypass? That's dumber than a stump. Contact us at GCNminerals.com. Learn how to lose weight, look good, and save yourselves a gob of money.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Chatting right now with a new guest to the program. His name is Mr. David Ackerman. He is the Chief Compliance Officer for Sound Income Strategies. Sound Income Strategies has a number of offices spread around the U.S., including New York and Florida. David is based in the New York office. And David, I found you and reached out to you because of an article that you wrote a few weeks ago entitled, How Much of America Do Foreigners Really Own? It takes a look at the debt situation in the U.S., but goes beyond just talking about absolute numbers and looks at how much certain countries hold. I found it very interesting because a lot of the time we talk about U.S. debt on an absolute basis, but it's very important to isolate and realize just how much of this debt is held by foreigners, and I think sometimes there is a bit of misinformation on how much of these foreigners hold this debt. You focus on China and Japan because, well, China is one of the largest foreign holders of U.S. debt, but can you please fill us in on some of your research and what you found about foreigners holding the U.S. debt, please?
Absolutely. And first and foremost, thanks for having me on. I absolutely love the show, and I love the discourse that occurs on it. So one of the things I want to make sure that's very clear to your listeners is the scope of what we're actually talking about. You'll hear various different numbers that are thrown out there. So foreign holdings of U.S. assets as high as $32 trillion. it's a little bit of a misnomer that that is the true value of the number. That number includes an awful lot of things. Stocks, bonds, things that are publicly traded. So first and foremost, it's not really $32 trillion of what the foreign governments and foreign holders own of the U.S. U.S. debt in and of itself is probably about $19 trillion total. And of that, you're probably talking around $6 trillion of that $19 trillion that is owned by foreign people. So it's still a significant number. That's a very big number. But don't get caught up in a lot of the politics and the pontificating when they're throwing these big numbers at you, first and foremost.
David, when you have people or when you're talking with people about foreign holdings of U.S. assets, the question must come up, you know, what is a good number? Is it good to have foreigners hold more U.S. assets, or is it better for Americans to hold these assets? I assume most Americans think that they want their assets owned domestically, but that's just not possible. So how do you approach that question?
There's two ways to look at this. So obviously everything is going to have positives and negatives. But just throwing this out there logically, one of the largest owners of U.S. debt is China. They own about $1.25 trillion. Okay, that accounts for approximately 6%. That's a lot of money, and that scares a lot of people because China right now is a behemoth in terms of their economy and their exports. But the next closest holder is Japan. They hold a little less than $1.2 trillion, and no one's scared of Japan. Although if you spoke to somebody in the 80s, they would have been the big bad China of that time. So when explaining this to the public, and something that I really hope that your listeners take away from this, is make sure you understand that everything is going to have a positive and a negative. Is it a good thing that China owns 6% of our debt or 6.3% of our debt? Maybe, maybe not. However, if they are trying to keep the dollar high, that then ensures that their exports are more favorable throughout the rest of the world. So when you hear people saying China could bankrupt us by dumping all of these treasuries on the market, the first people that that would hurt would be China themselves. Because take economics out of it, take the law out of it, take everything you've ever learned out of the equation. If you had a choice to manufacture and ship goods from China or the United States, each one of those was equal, which country would you choose?
Which country would you choose? That's an interesting question. You know, the interesting question in my mind is that people are very frightened of China because of the power that they wield, because they feel that China is perhaps an incredibly aggressive country that only does things for their own benefit. I would have to say that right now, given the fact that China and Japan are picking up so much of our paper, our debt, I'm kind of glad that they're there just for now. How about you?
I am glad that they're there in the sense that it's helping stabilize the dollar and it keeps us at a certain value that's very predictable. The one thing I would caution people is in March we're going to look at another debate about the debt ceiling. It's probably going to go up to about $20 trillion, which is a tremendous amount of money. And every time the debt ceiling has to be voted on, we hear the same debate over and over again that these foreign governments own all of us and those are the people who we want to hurt by not raising the debt ceiling. And unfortunately, what people don't realize is of that $19 trillion of U.S. debt, the largest holder is actually us, the United States, intergovernmental holdings. So you might be asking yourselves, why would any agency purchase U.S. securities? Social Security, the trust fund that regulates it, they tend to buy a lot of securities in order to hedge against money that they're going to need later because they're taking in more than they need now. They own about $2.7, $2.8 trillion of U.S. securities. And then you're talking about military retirement funds own another $600 billion, Medicare, other retirement funds. These collectively make up a tremendous amount of money, far more than what any foreign ownership would equal. So when you're talking about raising the debt ceiling, and if there is a way to harm those foreign entities that are buying all of this debt, the debt ceiling is not the way to do it, because that's just going to hurt retirees, and that's not something I'm comfortable with.
That's a very good point, David, and the distinction that I think most people need to understand, because it almost seems too easy to blame foreigners and say we really want to get out there and maybe hurt them because they hold so much debt. But I think we need to look on the other side, too, and understand that China and Japan, they also have massive amounts of debt. And I believe in China's case, most of that is also held domestically. So I think sometimes maybe you would agree with this, that it gets a little blown out of proportion that these foreigners, especially China, continues to buy the U.S. debt in a form that is maybe not to the detriment of the U.S. This isn't necessarily the case, is it?
No, it's not. And when you add up all the debt that's held by Social Security, all the retirement and pension funds, nearly half of U.S. debt is held in trust for your retirement. So if the U.S. defaults on that debt, foreign investors would be angry, but current and future retirees would be hurt far more. Is China using this as a currency manipulation? In my opinion, yes, they are. They're doing that to keep the dollar high, to make sure that their exports are more valuable around the world or more sought after. However, there are ways to tackle that problem. It's not necessarily China being the big bad boogeyman who is buying up all this debt. I'll give you a perfect example, actually. Prior to going into financial services, I had a company that bought and sold electronic components. I actually went to China. Part of my trip, I went to Mao's tomb. The interesting thing that I thought of was I was one of the few non-Asians online to see his tomb. And they're selling flowers outside the front to place upon the coffin of Mao. As I'm walking in, I'm taking a look at this beautiful, elaborate architecture, and I see the tomb. A guy comes in with a box, scoops up all the flowers, walks through a side door, walks back to the front to resell them. If that's not capitalism, I don't know what is. And China is far more capitalist than a lot of people really give them credit for. However, it's a really good punchline when you're talking about politics and trying to spur people to action.
You know, I got to tell you, I think that's almost humorous as to what a great example of capitalism that is. It's somewhat of a questionable action, in my opinion, to resell something that's already been purchased. But, you know, Chinese people, because of the experience that I've had, which has been fairly significant, we don't know each other very well, David, but, you know, I was involved as a member of the board of directors of a bank where I was clearly the token Caucasian guy. And I got to tell you, man, myself and another director, and I have to tell you, after doing that for 22 years, I really amassed a huge amount of personal respect for the way they did business. They were pretty honest. They were honest, I would have to say. Having said that, I really appreciate your time. Really appreciate your ability to comment factually on exactly what is happening with the U.S. debt. David, thanks again so much.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
From the pages of the Bible comes a terrifying account of an ancient beast that was half man, half demon. It is returned in the best-selling novel, Nephilim, by L.A. Marzulli. Indiegogo presents you with an opportunity to get involved in making this supernatural novel into a major motion picture. Join journalist Mac McKenzie as he travels halfway around the world to uncover the truth about aliens and demons. Join our Indiegogo campaign to get Nephilim made into a movie. Go to Indiegogo.com/Nephilim.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, There's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, I have joining us for this segment, John Kaiser, founder of Kaiser Research, and one of my favorite go-to people when we're talking about junior companies and also about the junior sector in particular. John follows, I would say, hundreds, maybe even thousands of junior companies in his report. John, to kick it off, I want to talk about the environment that we are in now moving forward with the Trump presidency. After the election results were made public, we saw gold spike and then immediately pull back. But the interesting thing was base metals continuing to get a buy. I've been talking for the last number of weeks on how copper in particular was breaking out, and that only further moved up after the Trump election announcement. As a general comment, let's get your opinion on what you think might be the future for the resource sector, considering there is a lot of chatter and infrastructure seems to be a key word that's throwing around a lot right now.
Well, it was quite interesting in his speech last night. Trump avoided saying the sort of nasty, despicable things that characterized his election campaign and actually started behaving like a normal person. And one of the themes that he brought up was the need for infrastructure spending, which is something the Democrats have wanted to do for the past 8 years. But because it involves fiscal stimulus and the creation of debt, the Republicans have largely blocked it. Now, this election was not really a re-election of the Republicans. It was a protest vote, putting somebody on the podium who is not aligned with any particular interest. And so the markets are listening to this and say, yes, America needs an infrastructure renewal boom. The House and Senate may be controlled by the Republicans, but all of them are Freedom Caucus members. We could end up seeing an alliance between Democrats and Republican moderates to support infrastructure spending boom. The idea is that, wow, if this gets underway, demand for metals will improve. The other thing is, however, Trump represents potential geopolitical instability for the rest of the world because of his desire to retreat from the global stage, to go back into America, shut down the borders, shut down global trade. And, of course, all of this will encourage countries like China and Russia to continue to push the envelope. And with Trump's reluctance to send troops and capital overseas to fight battles that he doesn't feel are really relevant to the United States, we could end up seeing supply disruptions of metals such as copper and nickel happen around the world, which itself would also drive up base metal prices and, of course, generate interest in safer jurisdictions close to the American home. And that's really important to the Canadian juniors, which really don't want to be operating in bizarre places like the Congo.
I find this connection that you're making very interesting, John, this retreat back to the U.S. that Trump has, quite frankly, stated a number of times that he wants money to come back inside the U.S. borders. Do you think that that then also opens up Canada? So it's a U.S. and Canada play that some of the juniors, even some of the bigger miners, will have more interest in simply because they are close to the U.S.?
Well, I would expand it to include all of North and South America. In my view, we will see a North and South American alliance emerge that is at odds with, say, Europe, Africa, and Asia. Assuming that Trump doesn't come through with his anti-Mexico stance, Mexico, of course, is just next door, but the United States does not have a problem with Peru, with Chile, with Argentina, all these other places where the Canadian juniors have become quite adept at exploring and advancing projects. So, but for safest jurisdictions, Canada is the obvious destination. Places like the Yukon, British Columbia, Ontario, Quebec, even the Northwest Territories and Nunavut, I believe there will be a growing interest in these areas. And, of course, these areas don't have the high-grade deposits that other exotic parts of the world do. But if you want a long-lived mine, that is of value for the bigger producers. So, for example, one of my recent spec value hunter picks is Serengeti Resources, which I do not own, but I put out a strong recommendation. They own the Quanica copper gold deposit, for which a PEA was done a couple of years ago. It's not big enough at the metal prices that we have. However, a South Korean company, Daewoo, is earning 35% in this deposit because it believes the resource can be expanded and the grade increased, and wants to use it as the feeder for a central milling facility that's fed by other deposits. So this is already a sign of producers, or in this case, users of metals such as copper, looking at safer jurisdictions where they can do long-term planning and get their security of supply.
John, it's actually interesting that you brought up Serengeti, because I chatted with the CEO and President David Moore in New Orleans. If anybody wants to listen to that interview, go, I believe, to last week, and it was posted earlier on in the week. It's an interesting recap of what Serengeti is all about. John, so we're talking about infrastructure spending and some of the base metals that would be getting a buy, some of the opportunities in not just North America's in general that you think will be an attractive play. What about the precious metals? How do you think they are going to react as we move into Trump taking office and through some of his first policy enactments?
Well, I found it very strange that Trump was implying that America needs to be made great again, as though it lost its greatness. When I last looked, the United States was still the world's biggest economy, the most influential society in the world, and by far the most capable and extensive military in the world. And so these things don't need to be made great. They are already great. But what I think he's hinting at is the long-term structural view that in a world where China becomes a superpower, where Russia becomes strong again, the United States cannot stay as the sole superpower. And Trump, in a sense, is actually endorsing that America will not be as great as it has been since the end of World War II. And that is worrisome for the rest of the world, because it implies geopolitical instability as these other countries flex their muscles, as the United States retreats and avoids getting into skirmishes to protect, say, Europe from Russian advances and so on. And that is going to be a very strong driver for demand for gold that has no linkage to inflation or fiat currency debasement. This is the kind of price increase that is not going to be dramatic, but because it's going to be of a real price nature, directly flows to the bottom line of all these deposits and plays that the Canadian juniors perhaps already own as an optionality play, such as, say, Serengeti's Quenica project, or even exploration targets that may not yield a 7-8% Kakula discovery, such as Ivanhoe found in the Congo, but could deliver deposits and grades that benefit from, say, $2,500 gold that has nothing to do with inflation expectations or a collapsing U.S. dollar.
Interesting comments, John. How about some other sectors in the resource area that you are seeing opportunities in, given this new environment?
Well, one of my favorites in which I have a significant interest myself and which has been a recommendation for my readers for several years now is Scandium International Mining Corp. And it has a scandium deposit in New South Wales called Ningen. They completed a feasibility study in April this year. They filed their environmental impact statement in May. It is now going through the permitting process. Management thinks they'll have a mining lease by the end of this year, at which place point they go out looking for $100 million to develop this deposit. Scandium is an element that makes aluminum special. And regardless of whether you're a climate change denier or accept that climate change is a serious problem, the desire to have anything that moves way less without compromising strength, that's a universal desire. So the automotive industry, the aerospace industry, even stuff like aluminum cans to move beverages, if you can lighten the weight of all these things, and then just, you know, use less weight to carry the important cargo, that is a good thing. And when scandium becomes available on a primary scalable basis, the aluminum scandium alloy industry will absolutely explode.
Well, John, I do appreciate hearing what you have to say on the sector. And a lot of these plays, I think, will be longer-term plays because right now investors are very confused at how everything's going to play out. But I do see continued money coming into infrastructure spending and the metals on a more broad basis. We'll just need to see which metals outperform. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's good to build up some long positions as we move into 2017 and the U.S. being run by Mr. Trump. Thanks for your time, John. Everybody, we're going to be right back with the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com and use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pileski of the Pileski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.